The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
You know what, Drew? I think the fair thing to say is there's no easy solution. We created the easy solutions by creating all this money over decades. You know, we've just seen an absolute avalanche of money creation, not only just here in the U.S., but around the world. And governments, you know, suddenly thought that there's no price to pay for it, and now we're seeing it in inflation. So it's challenging, but I guess the safest thing to say is, and I'm trying to practice this myself, I got to take one day at a time.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
I think it's pretty sage advice, right? One day at a time. That's what you got to do. Look, there's such uncertainty when it comes to the economy. The Labor Department today, though, they reported some interesting news. 261,000 new jobs were added to the economy last month. That is more than experts expected. So a little bit of good news, right? Let's zoom out a little bit, though, and take a look at the very same time as 261,000 new jobs are added. Unemployment went up. Right now, and Peter Grandage is going to be stopping by. I want to get his take on this. New jobs are added, yet unemployment is now at 3.7%, which again was more than the experts expected. So, while there were a lot of new jobs, wage growth slowed down, rising only a little more than 4%. So, that might sound good, but when you consider that inflation is still running right now, it's above 6%, then you got to realize that people are you're losing out. You know, right? In fact, one researcher says American families, you're going to have to spend $11,500 more dollars this year just to keep up with the cost of what you could buy in 2020. It's a lot of money. Did you get $11,500 raise this year? No, probably not, right? So that's a big chunk of change. Again, we're not talking about things like big screen TVs. I'm talking about food, right? I'm talking about clothing and transportation and housing. So how does it end? We got midterms coming up. I really believe a lot of fiscal policy has brought all about this. I think we overheated the economy. I think we owe trillions of dollars of spending. We need to pump the brakes. We need to figure this out. Of course, we'll talk interest rates today too. All the interest rates, raises are causing problems for consumers who are increasing their debt back up to pre-pandemic levels. During the pandemic, a lot of people saved money, surprisingly. I guess you weren't going out to restaurants or to bars or doing dry cleaning or driving or doing things along those lines. So a lot of people were able to pay down debt and actually save some money. A good portion of them right now, a lot of people, what they're saying due to the increase in interest rates are they're paying for day-to-day stuff like groceries and gas, and you're putting it on the credit card rather than, let's say, the debit card because of the higher prices. And so often the danger of that is, I'm going to put it on the credit card, I'm going to pay it off at the end of the month, and then you realize you're a little bit short, you don't have it, then you carry a little bit of that debt, and that debt begins to add up. Before you know it, it balloons into something too big. So you probably might also be encountering variable interest rates, because they go up and down with the Fed rate. That means, you're going to be paying more both for the item, right, and for the credit to get the item. So how long that goes on, I think it is anyone's guess. So final thought here, and then we'll get Peter's take on this. The markets, I don't know if you follow them at all, that they're responding to all this volatility. The Dow ended up 400 points today. That was a pretty big gain, right? The NASDAQ and the S&P 500, they ended up in the same percentage range. So, but they all still closed, if you pull out, lower than at the start of the week. So even though we had a good day, still lower than the start of the week. So I don't know. They're jittery. They're jittery because after the Federal Reserve raised interest rates 0.75%, right, 75 basis points for the fourth time in a row, they're trying to figure out, are they going to do it again? And what will ultimately tip us into recession? I don't have the answers. Peter Grandage does, though. He is our expert when it comes to the economy, when it comes to the market. He's got his finger on the pulse of it. And the thing I love about Peter, too, he has this ability to look at all of this through the eyes of our faith. And I think that's how you have to navigate this. I mean, if you just look at numbers, it's pretty depressing. It can be frightening. It can rob you of your hope. right? But I think if you walk with the Lord through this, whether you're struggling with credit card debt or you're trying to get that new house and the mortgage rates are spiking, or you know, you're just worried about your retirement, we need to cloak ourselves with our faith. And I think that'll certainly give us some cover. You know, Peter, he's been here with me for years now. He joins me about every first and third week of the month. Known as the former Wall Street Whiz Kid. If you have not heard his story, he's got a book called Confessions of a Former Wall Street Whiz Kid. You can get it online. He gives it away free. And he tells his incredible journey of how his faith led him to a true Christian conversion. And if you want to tap into his expertise, into his genius, I think Peter has been pretty accurate. He's got a great track record. You can check out Peter Grandage & Company. And simply go to his website. It's petergrandage.com. PeterGrandage.com. Peter, welcome back. Good to talk with you today.
Good to be with you, Drew.
Thank you, brother. First, I'm going to ask you some questions so maybe you can teach me and help me better understand what I'm seeing here. Can you explain how we added all these new jobs at the same time the unemployment rate went up? Unpack that for me if you could.
Well, you and I have had this discussion now for several months when we've had the employment numbers. I popped on the major difference between the household survey and what's called the establishment survey that comprises the monthly jobs report. And since March, the former has been stagnant, while the latter has been rising every single month. In addition to that, I've talked to you about how full-time jobs were plunging while part-time jobs were soaring. And I explained to you back then that if you take a full-time job and divide it into two part-time jobs, one survey counts that as two people employed, even though it's the same person just working two part-time jobs. Now, today there was no difference. In fact, I would argue the fudging hit an extreme with the election next week. I think what was more concerning for me, at least, is that despite this continuing rise in so-called non-farm payrolls, the household survey continues to suggest growing weakness. As of October 31st, that gap, which started in March, has now grown to a whopping 2.3 million workers. That's the difference in both surveys. And I suspect we'll eventually see revisions showing employment wasn't anywhere as strong as the payroll numbers suggested. That's one of the reasons why I believe something very important happened today, and that is the yield on two-year Treasury notes rose more than 50 basis points above the 10-year. Wow. Now, you would expect a 10-year would pay more than something for two-year. This is what's most considered has been the biggest yield curve inversion since the 1980s, which happened to be the last time, the Federal Reserve was this aggressive in tightening interest rates. And so people understand what an inversion of the yield curve means is it simply means the cost of short-term borrowing actually is higher than long-term borrowing. And this has always, up until now, preceded a recession. Now, today we had a little other news that I thought was kind of important. Most people won't pay attention to it. But the huge run in the U.S. dollar at least hit an air pocket for now. And a lot of that came because China is at least chattering about abandoning or loosening their zero COVID policy, which I've never understood how they thought they can get it to zero.
Right.
And that allowed commodities, especially gold and copper, which is not only you and I don't talk, I don't think maybe we talk twice ever about commodities, but very interesting. Copper supplies now are down to the lowest ever, and less than 2 weeks worth. And it's just a whole interesting thing. But I got to go back to, before you come to another question, the big elephant in the room still remains there. No one on either side of the aisle wants to speak about the $31 trillion in national debt. You know, Drew, that's up from $20 trillion in just 6 years ago. It's just an amazing, and both the Republican and Democratic president was on hand during this. And this huge deficit spending just keeps rising. It's the main reason for why we have this inflation. And the current president, he's talking still about, what I consider ill-conceived student loan forgivenesses, adding hundreds of billions of dollars onto the level. And we're on a track to see federal debt at $45 trillion in a decade.
Oh, my gosh.
And, a vibrant economy, if it was vibrant, which we don't know really have had in a long time, you can maybe work around that debt. But a nation where its debt is growing faster than the economy, it can't continue. So something seriously has to happen, and that's worrisome. And listen, I worry just like anybody else. Yeah. Do not think I'm sitting in ivory tower and not being impacted by this. But this is really serious stuff, and you know, the whole thing on what I've talked to you about is, again, with how people have approached planning and all, they make all these assumptions on the positives, and they never look at the potential negatives. I was telling you that, you know, a year or so ago, people were just out of their mind how they were viewing the markets, and now a lot of people have substantial losses. And I've always told you, I don't believe I know where the market is going. Right. If I did, I wouldn't be on this call. I'd be on an island somewhere. But I think I can make good guesses. And I still think that we're not yet ready to call the troubles over. And I think the election's going to play a big role. And I'm just going to say one thing about the election. If you thought the left, and specifically the far left, were sore winners, which they kind of were when they were in control, I can't imagine what they're going to be like if they lose the House and also the Senate. And are the Republicans going to try to make progress, or are they going to spend time trying to find out, you know, who did what wrong? Listen, I can understand that. There's a lot of questions out there about COVID and the president's son and all. But if the Republicans just take the next 2 years spending more time on that than trying to fix these issues, then I don't know where you and I are going to be in a year or two.
No, I could not agree more. You talk about $45 trillion worth of national debt. That to me is just staggering, because as the larger it gets, the more it accelerates. You know, the debt just gets larger with all that interest.
Well, how do you pay it? How do you pay it? You know, if you think about it, let's say interest rates are 5%. Yeah. They just go to 5%. Even now at $30 trillion, that's $1.5 trillion in interest that we owe. And that doesn't count that we're still running a $1 trillion deficit. So you can want to put your head in under the cover and not come out. Listen, I understand that from people and all. And I find myself occasionally getting like that too. And then it goes back to what you brought up earlier about faith and all this. You know, God knows this is all happening. Listen, go back to what I've always told you. The number one financial book is not Peter Granich's or some guy that rings bells on a financial network. It's the Holy Bible. And in there's more talk about finances than there is even about heaven or hell. And if you look at what's taught in there, we've gone against it, all of us. I'm guilty of it as well, for years now. And part of that is there's not a positive verse in the Bible about debt. Yeah. And that has become a way that we have just lived for years. And it's everybody's guilty of that. It's not Republican, Democrat, white, black, whatever. We're all guilty of it, and it goes against the teachings of the Lord. And, you know, I think history's shown what happened when you go against the teachings of the Lord.
Yeah. You know, I hear the president quite often say that, you know, we're doing okay. Our economy is better than other economies. How do we stand? How do we fare on the global stage? Is the U.S., we've got a pretty big deficit. How do we stand compared to other nations?
Drew, I don't understand what he sees. I'm not sure if he sees it himself. He may be just being told and his view and all. The one thing you can say about him, even long before there was questions of mental health, he was never very successful on the economy or really in any level. I don't know if he's a real expert to judge on that. And, you know, all I know is that it's very hard to find anything in the time that he's been in to look at and say, wow, that was really a good thing. That really helped the country move forward. And to stand a few nights ago and to try to make a divisiveness as a reason that you should elect one group over another, I just find that inconceivable of a man that, you know, claims his Catholic faith and all. To me, that was extremely divisive and unwarranted.
No, I agree. I'm going to go to the phones in a minute. If you want to join us, it's 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. I want to talk about something that hits close to home for a lot of Americans, and that's these interest rates. I mean, we see, mortgage rates hit a 20-year high. There's talk that Thanksgiving dinner is going to cost you much more. We know groceries are going up. I even heard that the country is just about to run out of diesel fuel. I reported on this maybe it was a week or two ago, and I said that we had 25 days left based on a report I'd seen. I hear we're really running low on this, and that's going to have a huge impact on us. I don't want to cause panic, but should be people be stocking up right now? Well, what should we do? Because it, based on some of these reports, it doesn't seem, especially we run out of diesel. I mean, everything is shipped and moved on that. There are going to be some issues. What advice would you give, if you can even give advice on that? Do you think that's a prudent move on, for some people to do?
You know, I don't know what, you know, individuals do now. You know, so many things are out of our control. I mean, think about it. Small trucking companies, they basically have shut down. They can't operate with the high cost and what little profit margin that's been left in that. This is a whole series, and I know one party's going to win, and there'll be an initial feeling of, okay, that's good. But the issues that we're facing, what you brought up, I mean, think about it. Mortgages have basically doubled in cost in less than a year. Yep. There's just no way a housing market can survive that. It just can't. And we all know how crazy the prices got. Well, just like a stock market, when it can go up a lot, there's not a lot of bidding underneath it, you know, the markets come down. So there's just a whole series of issues. And it just goes back to, again, the prudence. You know, people didn't, you know, we like to, in our planning, we like to think of just being as efficient, as effective of what we have, not dream of a black box that somehow we're going to figure out how to turn $1 into $100 by buying some stock or something. And people got caught up in that, right? The public really bit into that the last few years. That's one of the reasons the market and these crazy stocks, you know, NASDAQ were going from 5 to 200, and it just didn't make any sense. And now you have to, unfortunately, pay a price for that. And so I would love to sit here, and I've told you, I would love to say that we're just about to see nirvana or we've turned the corner, but I just don't see how that can happen anytime soon.
I was reading an article, I don't know if it was The Hill or where I had seen this, but the headline grabbed my attention. It was a couple of days ago, and it said the Fed's next big rate hike might be its last. Do you get a sense of that? I mean, some analysts they were making the argument, and economists were confident that the Fed hike hit, that its baseline interest rate, I mean, they're going to raise it, they just raised it 0.75 basis points. But they don't think they're going to continue to go ahead and do that because they're facing pressure to take their foot off the brakes right now. What do you think is going to happen? More hikes to come? That affects everything, people's credit cards to mortgage rates, or have we hit the limit because these rate hikes have caused a steep decline in home sales? The price declines in these are last 20 years. I mean, the steepest decline since we've seen then. Hiring, a whole lot of other things I thought were going to be impacted by this. But your thoughts?
So the raising of interest rates is probably at least going to pause after one more, I think. You know, that's just my guess, best calculated guess. Yeah. But to turn around and think they're going to go back down anytime soon, or Powell talking about 2% inflation again. If I can make one bet for the rest of my natural life, we're not going to see 2% inflation for a long, long time. We would need a depression to have that. Wow. And so I think we're going to have to get used to higher inflation, and maybe interest rates don't go up a lot, but to come back a lot, or for the Fed to start creating money again, which really drove the stock market way beyond where it should have. I think that's, people mm-hmm. talk about this turn and all. I think a pause is more likely than any major turn.
All right. Well, let me go to the phones because we have a couple of minutes here. Callie is listening to us in St. Cloud, Minnesota. Hi, Callie.
Hello?
Hi. I'm sorry. Is it Florida? I'm sorry. It is Florida. St. Cloud, Florida. Hey, Callie. Thank you for calling. Good afternoon.
Hello?
Yeah, Callie, you're on the air. Go right ahead. Okay, I don't know. We must be having phone issues today. Maybe I'll stay away from calls for now because I'm having issues. I'm going to try one more time on her. If not, I'll go to Scott in Florida. Hey, Callie, you're with us? All right, I'm going to go to Scott. Scott's listening in St. Augustine, Florida. Hi, Scott. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Hey, a quick question. I work for the government. I have a TSP. When things were going south this spring. I threw everything over to the G Fund. I was just calling to see if Peter thought it was time to throw some back into the C and the common stock or the international stock, or should I hold off?
Well, I don't like doing those things, cookie cutter approach, because what could be good for you could be absolutely detrimental to someone else listening. I would just say is that the stock market is probably at best can fluctuate in a trading range for the foreseeable future. To imagine it can rally and go up 20 or 30% from here anytime soon, I just think is very highly unlikely. So fortunate for you versus some others that stayed long, but I don't think you have to run back into the market. I like I said earlier, people's planning needs to first get everything efficient and effective before they speculate, and they do the opposite. And that's why we like to say, you know, what the work we do is an alternative to traditional financial planning, because traditional financial planning chases net worth. We teach people about cash flow. If you talk to a business owner, the success came from how they managed the cash flow, not how they speculated on their business growing. And I think it's important now for people to first understand, you know, still most people, Drew, to this day, still don't have a written budget and even understand what their costs are.
Wow.
And like you just said earlier, it's an insane number. That $11,000 more it's going to cost you for the same thing from 2 years ago.
Yeah.
People can't afford that. 60% of the public works paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah, no kidding. My guest, Peter Grandage, if you want to tap into him even after he goes off the air, petergrandage.com. Petergrandage.com. If you want to an alternative approach to you know, wealth management there. Martha in Texas, you're on the air with Peter Grandage. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I am a retired person. I am 67 years old. And I have a little cushion in an IRA, supposedly to be a cushion for my retirement when the money that I receive right now gets too small. But I've noticed that I'm losing a lot, and it's not a lot of money, but I've been losing like $4,000 in a month.
Right.
So I was wondering, would it be better off if I just take the money out and pay off my house?
All right, Peter, and look, I know a lot of people are probably seeing this. If they have a 403B, if they have a 401K, you know, if they're seeing those things begin to shrink. I mean, you just take a look at how much wealth has been lost since, you know, this economy started to heat up. Your thoughts, and I know you don't like to give personal advice because everybody's situation a little differently, but as people see their wealth shrink, are they better off just getting out of debt? Well, can you address that, or you don't feel comfortable doing that?
It's a personal and individual decision choice. I don't think you can make a blanket comment. What one person, you know, a lot of people hold on because they say, oh, if I sell it goes back up, it's going to kill me. Well, I always had this answer. People used to say, you guys tell us when to buy, you never tell us when to sell. And I say, okay, forget where you own it. Could you first buy it today at today's price, knowing what you now know about it? And if you can't bring yourself to first buy it, then that might help you understand why maybe you don't want to still hold it.
Yeah, okay, it makes sense. Let me sneak Callie in, too, if I could. She's got an interesting question about debt, though. Callie, are you with us?
Yes.
Go right ahead.
My question was, I don't have that much savings, but what I do have, I can pay off my debt with. And it'll probably leave me with maybe $1,000 left. Should I pay off my debt little by little? But, you know,
again,
that's
an individual choice. I can't just blanketly say that. I can just tell you this, that if you take Scripture's advice, Scripture's advice told us, you know, to avoid debt at all costs. Doesn't mean that you couldn't have a mortgage on a home or anything, but we went way beyond that. So that might be, you know, you might want to read Scripture to see if you can find the answer to what you should do.
All right, so a question about paying off debt fully or slowly. If you have the capability of paying it off, certainly do
that.
I just
always told you that I always felt when things were better, and the standard is it's better to be debt-free. People seem to have a fair mind, but it's very tough now. This is not an easy time for any of us, at least most of us anyway.
That's so true. I only have a minute left. I do want to talk about credit cards. I know it's crushing a lot of people right now. People are putting their everyday purchases on plastic. And
they have no choice, Drew. What do you tell a person? He's got a credit card. He has no savings. He's got to get to work to buy food and pay rent or something.
Right.
And his only choice is either sit home and lose his job or put it on the credit card and just hope something happens. That's what a lot of Americans are facing right now. It's a very hard thing to be in that position.
Well, Peter, I'm grateful for your insight, and we'll have to have you back again. I always enjoy not just your advice, but your
good news, but you know, it's unfortunate that the problems we have now didn't happen overnight. They've occurred for a lot of years from a lot of different reasons. And they're just, it's very hard to expect them to just go away anytime soon. I like that. I wish I had a wand for myself. Trust me.
Yeah, me too.
But like I said, what we do is we try to get people as efficient, as effective as possible and come to a realization. A lot of people don't want to hear that, but the ones that do seem to be happy. So hopefully there'll be some happiness.
All right, Peter, I hope people will check you out. PeterGrandage.com. That's his website. If you want to get plugged into him, read his story, Confessions of a Former Wall Street Whiz Kid. Say a prayer for Peter, too. He's gone through a little bout recently, and he could certainly use your prayers. Peter, I'm glad you're still making time for us. Hang in there, okay? We'll continue to pray for you, and I look forward to the next conversation.
Thank you, Drew. God bless.
God bless you. Peter Grandage, stay with me. If you're having trouble sleeping, falling asleep, maybe staying asleep, we'll talk to a sleep doctor when I return.
You know, we receive over a million prayer requests every year, thanks in part to the Catholic Order of Foresters Studio Line, helping us stay connected to your intentions. Learn how our sponsor can support your family with life insurance at relevantradio.com/Forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Now, that bumper will put me to sleep. Rob's lullaby there, right? Hey, good afternoon. Good to be with you today. I'm grateful to have you with me. Maybe you need some gentle music to lull you to sleep. You know, Sunday, you get an extra hour of it. And that's some good news, right? And we'll end today on a good news story there, right? I like turning the clocks back. You do get that extra hour. I don't like leaving this radio studio and it's dark when I walk out. That happens to be the case, but we're now at that time of year where you change your clocks, and since it's fall, you fall back, which means you gain an hour in your day. You'll also be in standard time once again, and that time, believe it or not, actually conforms more closely to your circadian rhythm, your internal clock that gets adjusted on a daily basis according to sunrise and sunset. Now, earlier this year, I saw a story where the Senate, they unanimously passed a bill called the Sunshine Protection Act that would permanently eliminate this time change. And Dr. Lou Tortaglia will be joining me in a second. What is his take on it? Is daylight saving time, whether we spring up or go back, is it bad for you? Huh? Is it not good for your health? I've often heard that heart attacks rise the day after this. Car accidents rise. There's a whole litany of things that happen. That of course, would be awesome, I think, if we had one standard time. You know, I think it would be welcome news for a lot of Americans. A recent poll that was done showed that about 64% of Americans want the time changes to stop. How do you feel about it? You get used to where we are? Look, nobody likes change, right? Nobody likes change, fundamentally. But there is a reason it's called daylight savings time, and we can talk about that, give you a little history on it. But the reason it's called the Sunshine Protection Act is that it would permanently set us at daylight saving time rather than standard time. I know it sounds great since the sun will go down later, and I kind of like that, but there was an article in Brain and Life magazine, and I want to quote this one sentence. I'll throw this out to you. It says, quote, "The problem, according to neurologists and sleep specialists, is that our body's natural clocks are out of sync with daylight saving time. It denies us the morning light we need to wake up, and it delays the cues of darkness that tell us we need to rest. Daylight saving time also increases the gap between our biological clocks and our social clocks. So not only that, there's some, as I said, some bizarre statistics around these time changes that I found on a website, and you can check it out. It's sco.tt/time, I should say. Traffic accidents, they spike in the week after we spring forward. Okay, so you need to be extra vigilant driving, or maybe look out for that sleepy driver. Those accidents kill about 28 people every year. The springtime change, this also says, makes computers use extra energy. People are less civil online. Now, that's a scary thought. Can you get any more uncivil? People are less civil online after the springtime change. Workplace injuries go up. Productivity goes down. Oh, and you've heard about this from the farmers, right? You know, we know that productivity is decreasing, right? You've heard that from farmers before, but it was actually something done during World War I, and farmers don't like it anymore. Any more than the rest of us. So things have changed. Let's talk about it for a minute. If you got a question regarding sleep, you're having trouble falling asleep, staying asleep, you're waking up in the middle of the night, you want to know about melatonin or sleep aids, all things go. We will talk sleep for the next half hour, and in particular, the effects of these time change. And I'm just delighted to have Dr. Lou Tartaglia back. He's a full-time sleep medicine specialist. He's board certified in psychiatry and neurology, and he actively participates in all these areas of clinical sleep medicine. And you can check him out at the Toledo Sleep Disorder Center Sleep Laboratory. Doctor, it's good to have you with me. Good afternoon.
It's good to be back.
I'm always look forward to this conversation, especially this time of year. I know you, let me ask you, I shouldn't assume, I'm assuming you're not happy with the Senate bill, but how do sleep specialists feel about that? Do you really tell me why?
Well, first of all, you're supposed to have your circadian clock is built into your brain so that your body is aligned with the sun. And whenever you take that alignment away, it affects various functions in your body. So the circadian clock affects every cell in your body. It affects sleep-wake, fasting and eating cycles, immune function, and cognitive ability. So, and it also is associated when you use daylight savings time. Every 5 degrees of alignment, or 3 to 4% increase in cancer occurs. So that the further west you are in a time zone, the higher the rate of cancer. So it's really important to wake up and be exposed to the sun. And in the winter, you need to be exposed to the sun even more. What it's going to do is it's going to put 100 more major communities or cities in the northern part of the United States in darkness in the morning. Wow. And that screws up your circadian clock. And that's going to be associated with an increase in cancer, an increase in obesity, an increase in heart attack, especially on the western edges of the time zones. So it's really it's a stupid idea whose time has come.
Well, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think it's likely that some law will be passed? I mean, how passionate are people about it, really?
Well, they passed it. It's passed. But it hasn't been instituted yet, and 18 states have already put permanent daylight savings time into place, which is really a big mistake. Wow. I guess it's less of a mistake in the southern states because you don't get such a big variation.
Right.
What should happen is the new Congress should try to get rid of it completely and go back to standard time. That's the healthiest. And the sleep associations, the American Association of Sleep Medicine and the Sleep Research Association, have recommended we go back to permanent standard time and never use the daylight savings time. It was instituted during World War I. It was first a spoof, and you mentioned that, and I later looked that up, and I stand corrected. It was Benjamin Franklin who wrote an article wanting daylight savings time, but it was a satire.
Huh.
And it wasn't until a golfer around the time of World War I tried to convince people to do it so that he could golf later into the evening.
Yeah. Hilarious. So you know,
and we've never gotten rid of it, which is a shame because we really don't need it. We need to be exposed to morning sunlight. That's so important for keeping your body healthy.
So I'm assuming the argument for the Sunshine Prevention Act, which would make daylight savings time the set time year-round. I'm assuming the person pushing, I don't know who's pushing it, to be honest with you, because the benefit used to be that you needed more time for farming, right? And that made a lot of sense. But with new agricultural techniques, that's no longer the case. So how did this get passed if sleep specialists and neurologists and everybody are saying, hey, we should be on standard time, not daylight saving time?
I think the politicians did surveys of what people wanted. And people wanted to have the daylight savings time and more time in the evening. But here's the problem with more sunlight in the evening. You're supposed to get darkness cues in the evening so that you fall asleep quicker and sleep better at night.
Right. What
we're doing the opposite.
You know, can't you just adjust your body? Let's say we go daylight savings, right? And that's standard straight across. Won't your body just get used to going to sleep at a certain time, or can't you just go to sleep at a certain time? I mean, it'll really mess with people that bad?
Well, your body adjusts to the sunlight. God created you to be exposed to sunlight. There's these special cells on your retina that read sky blue light, and you're supposed to be exposed to sunlight around 8 o'clock in the morning. That's ideal for resetting or reestablishing your circadian rhythm. So your circadian rhythm is always going to be out of alignment with daylight.
Yep.
If you're in daylight savings, you're always going to be an hour off. Huh. And it's associated with all kinds of problems. And the politicians did not consult the sleep medicine specialists. I think what they did is they did surveys to try to identify what people would prefer and then to avoid switching back and forth, because we know switching back and forth is problematic, they adopted the daylight savings. They picked the wrong one.
Yeah, my guest today, Dr. Lou Tartaglia. If you want to join us, it's 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. And we'll take your questions, too. Are you having trouble sleeping? Are you having trouble falling asleep? Doctor, maybe we can talk about catching up on sleep. We can take a look at the impact of everything from alcohol and caffeine to melatonin and sleep aids. And a lot of people do have a lot of issues with this. So we're also taking a look at turning the clocks back. You turn your clocks back this Saturday. So don't forget to do that. Set a quick reminder. I think if you have a cell phone or something, it probably does it automatically for you. But we're taking a look at the benefits or the problems with that as well. So our conversation will continue with more right after this.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. Connect with Drew on the Relevant Radio app.
We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
Dad?
Yeah?
There's someone on the phone for you.
You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, good to be with you today. Hey, time is ticking. It's flying by. I thought I'd get you up to speed. Two quick important notes. One, get your Powerball lottery ticket if you haven't got it yet. Saturday's the draw for $1.6 billion. Saturday. It goes off on Saturday. That night, too, you might want to turn your clocks back. This is that time of year that we get the benefit of an extra hour of sleep. But here's some questions for you, too, and we can look at some of these. Do men need more sleep than women, or do women need more sleep than men? And are night lights a good thing to have in the house, or do they mess with your sleep? What about alcohol? What about caffeine? Are people naturally night owls, or are they morning larks, so to speak? And are there strategies to help you fall asleep and stay asleep. There's a lot to get into. And what about the average amount of sleep? Is it 7 hours, 8 hours? Do you need nine? Do you need six? What is it? So much to talk about, so little time to get to it all. But I love speaking with Dr. Lou Tartaglia, full-time sleep medicine specialist, board certified in psychiatry and neurology. He's also an author, just came out with a brand new book called The Last Gift of the Magi. So I got a sleep doc writing a book. Tell me a little bit about this before we get into some Q&A here on sleep. Your book, Doc, where is it? What's it about? And how can people get it?
Well, it's about a camel that goes on a caravan to discover his purpose in life. I've been writing self-help for a long time. And years ago when I first did this, all the major publishing companies that had my other books didn't want a Christmas story that involved Jesus and the Magi. So I put it aside, and then last year I rewrote it. And then Mark Victor Hansen, the gentleman who wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul,
the whole series,
encouraged me to come back out with it. And it's coming out on Wednesday. You can buy it. You can actually pre-order it today on Amazon. And the camel goes on a caravan to discover his purpose and has to face adversity. There's a dark night of the soul in it. Wow. And he winds up with the Magi.
How cool. So, what a great story. So is this more for kids? Is it a kid's book? One that teaches virtue?
No, it's more for adults.
Really?
It does teach virtue because the Magi have a little ceremony and they discuss the virtues. And that it's almost like a little primer for virtue. But the gist of the story is that you have to go through suffering in order to discover your true potentialities and your purpose in life.
Well, I love it. It's called The Last Gift of the Magi.
Of the Magi.
And available online, Amazon. You can pre-order it right now, or you can get it right now. So that's great.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll have to talk more about it. We'll talk self-help at some point with you, too. I think it's fascinating. My guest today, Dr. Lou Tartaglia, the book, Last Gift of the Magi. We'll take a few calls right now because I know how quickly these final segments go. Lucy, who's listening to us in Camarillo, California. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. I want to ask the doctor, what can I do to prevent waking up and staying awake so long? I'll go to bed maybe my regular hours between 9 and 10. And I'll sleep for about 3 or 4 hours. Then I wake up, I may go to the bathroom, and then I'm up for another three to four hours.
That's rough.
How old are you?
I'm 84. Well, I'll be 85 tomorrow, actually.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So the issue is that when you're in your 80s, you usually wake up 3 or 4 times during the night, and you wake up earlier than you would like, and it's hard to go back to sleep. And so one of the things you need to do is to get out into sunlight between 8 and 10 in the morning to get the clock set.
Oh.
And then try to go back out in the early evening to get a little bit more sunlight so you don't go to bed as early. In other words, exposure in the late afternoon, early evening will help you stay awake a little bit longer, and that'll reset the circadian clock. The other thing you can do is you can look for a course in cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia and learn some of the techniques to help you fall back to sleep. They're very useful.
You know, how about naps? Are naps a good thing to take? I mean, okay, she's being deprived of sleep at night.
Most of the world takes a nap. Almost all of Europe except for Great Britain. And some of the most northern countries, all of Africa, South America, Central America, the French Canadians, and most of Asia, they take naps.
Wow.
And so the proper time to take a nap is between 2 and 4 in the afternoon, which is the time that most of the automobile accidents occur in the United States, because people should be napping rather than commuting. So they're actually quite good, but you can't take a nap for longer than an hour and a half. That'll disrupt your nighttime sleep. You want to keep it to about 45 minutes to an hour.
2 to 4 in the afternoon, that's right when I'm on the air. So
right.
That's why everybody falls asleep while I'm talking. There you go. It was tough for me. I first started doing this shift, you know. When I first got into radio, I had a very different shift. But you know, this is afternoon drive. It's a coveted spot. I love it very much, but I remember at times getting really tired, you know, but I've been doing this so long now that my body's adjusted to it, you know.
There's a 12-hour circadian cycle in your brain.
Yeah.
So between 2 and 4 in the morning is the sleepiest time of the night, and between 2 and 4 in the afternoon is the sleepiest time during the day.
Oh, wow. Fascinating. All right, let's go to Tennessee next. Crossville. Kathy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I was telling the other guy,
mm-hmm.
They tried year-round daylight savings time back in the 70s.
Mm. And what happened?
Sure, it was a total failure.
Yeah, and it was a total disaster. They repealed it after 1 year.
Oh, wow.
Because what happens is the sun doesn't come up in the morning until about 8 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
And so the country kids especially, the rural kids, yeah. were standing out waiting for buses in total darkness.
Wow. Well, that's fascinating. Right, well, and, 1 year and they repealed it. Wow. Kathy, yeah. thank you.
It doesn't save energy.
Right.
And, you know, the sunrise is so late in the morning, it's dangerous.
Well, doctor, you're going to have to make a case for locking us in on standard time then as opposed to daylight savings time. So maybe...
Right. Actually, the American Association of Sleep Medicine, I'm a part of that, has made that request. It's just that the Congress hasn't paid attention to it.
Yeah.
And they haven't learned, I guess, from their mistakes.
Wow. Is there a difference between residents in Arizona and Hawaii who don't have to make the time change and everyone else around the country does in terms of their restfulness?
You generally have like a 12 hours of sunlight year-round. You don't need to make a change at all.
Wow. Interesting. Frank is in Phoenix. Let's hear from him. Hi, Frank.
Hey, good afternoon. Doctor, my question is, my wife passed away back in December. And not too long after that, I was always a good sleeper prior. But a couple months after that, I go to bed, I could sleep for about 2 hours, and I'd wake up. And then I go back to sleep, and I'd wake up. And I was talking to a friend of mine whose wife had passed away, and he said, well, welcome to the club.
Wow. That's tough.
Yeah, my condolences. It's much harder to keep your current sleep patterns when your bed partner is gone. It's really difficult.
Frank, I'm sorry to hear about that, buddy. So any advice for him? What would you recommend? Let me ask you about this then. I mean, when I can't sleep at night, I revert to prayer. I'll pray the rosary or I'll pray the chaplet, and inevitably I find myself drifting off to sleep. But there are a lot of people today that are using over-the-counter sleep aids to help them sleep. You know, the natural route, melatonin or valerian, another big seller in today's culture.
And chamomile tea.
And chamomile. So,
right.
so what advice would you give to people to help them fall asleep?
The melatonin is fairly safe. If you go to bed 7 days a week at about the same time, you take the melatonin about an hour to an hour and a half before bedtime, and it works a little bit better that way. But some people don't respond at all. Other people have sleep problems that need to be treated, you know, obstructive apnea, restless leg syndrome, periodic limb movement disorder. So, you know, sometimes it's helpful to get a workup and try to find out what's really wrong with the sleep. Oh, there's nothing wrong with valerian and melatonin and chamomile.
Right.
The Benadryl, as you get older, can have an effect on cognitive functions.
Wow.
So you don't want to take an antihistamine as you get older, unless you need it for allergies. But for sleep, yeah. At a certain point, it's not a good idea.
Well, what about people who take Tylenol PM and things along those lines? Same problems?
Well, the Tylenol is not necessary. The PM is Benadryl.
Okay. All right. So you're better off just doing the Benadryl, or not at all. I would go the alternate route if you could. Sacramento, California. Deanna, thank you for joining us.
Hi. I have a very difficult time falling asleep for years, but mm-hmm. it's gotten worse. Basically, I just think about everything's going through my mind at that time. I just can't stop thinking about things
right.
either throughout my day or that I have to get done, both.
Okay.
Right. And patients who do that respond really well to cognitive behavioral therapy. You do six sessions. Usually you do it online through one of the major medical centers, like we use the Cleveland Clinic, and you go online to their go-to-sleep program, and then you practice the techniques for a couple of years, and the sleep gradually improves. The five-year outcome is pretty good. It's much better than with medications. But you have to make sure you're not dealing with restless legs or apnea right at the sleep-wake interface, because that'll prevent you from falling asleep. And some patients with apnea, when you start to suffocate as you're falling asleep, you get the fight or flight reaction, and then you lay there ruminating. Your mind is racing. So you have to make sure you don't have one of the major pathologies before you just do the cognitive behavioral therapy.
Can you catch up on sleep? Can I sleep in on the weekend and catch up for the deficit you had throughout the week?
Yeah, it takes 2 days to catch up on one day of sleep deprivation.
I got back from the Middle East. I was over in the Holy Land. And I cannot wake up lately. I just need sleep. So I guess the body's trying to both help me overcome this respiratory thing I had and catch up. Doctor, right. It's good to have you with us. Your book, I want to give a final plug for it for anyone who wants to get it. It's called The Gift of the Last Magi. Last Gift of the Magi. And if you want to do a quick search for him, last name is TARTAGLIA. Dr. Lou Tartaglia. Doctor, thank you for your time. We'll talk about your book and some self-help, hopefully in the not-too-distant future, okay?
Okay, great.
All right. May you have a great weekend, everyone. God bless. Get some rest.